In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, it says in part, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ." I wonder if we would feel comfortable enough with our spiritual beliefs to identify with God and his only begotten, the Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting we go around and tell people, "I'm the Christ, I'm the Christ, I'm the Christ." But they may put you in a, I don't know, home or something, or some other place. But I am suggesting that we recognize that the Christ has always been from the beginning. And the Christ lives in all. Whether we think the person is good or bad, doesn't matter. The Christ is in all. For in truth, while we are not a God, because there is only one God, we are of God. And what God did was to give us the Christ within, so that we can be led and guided back to the Father's house, which is his kingdom, his heaven. But what really matters is what we believe for and of ourselves. It is the beliefs that we hold as true and real every day that can either support our spiritual unfoldment or keep us as prisoners of the world of the temporary existence. For we have a choice. We can live by human thinking and conditions, or we can live by God's truth and principle. When I was a kid, the people in my neighborhood worried about what everybody else would say about them. They worried about who was gossiping about them. And so they spent a lot of time in fear that somebody was talking about them and saying bad things about them, because their reputation was very important to them. As I have gotten older, I realized that this doesn't make any sense, because we have no control over others. Trust me, I've been married 3 times. Or our children, or anybody else. You know, I think that's why sometimes there are managers who get very agitated with employees, because they want to control them. You can't control people. You can talk with people, but you can't control the people as we think we can. And even when you think you're being nice and friendly, there could be somebody who thinks you're just a phony. They're just trying to, you know, get something from them. Or you can be rude and mean, and someone may think you are just having a bad day. We all judge by appearances. This is why trying to improve communications between two people is very difficult. Professionally, I'm a mediator. It's very difficult to improve the communications between, because they're coming from different states of consciousness. We each see and experience our world depending on where we are in consciousness. I'm sure you've heard this. There used to be, once upon a time, that lawyers would use eyewitnesses to accidents and things like that. Actually, they stopped doing that. Why? Because you can have 5 people see the same exact accident, and they're going to come up with a different version of what happened. Because we are seeing things through our consciousness. So there are things that are happening that we really don't see. We see it differently. We all judge by appearances, and yet there are times when you can meet someone and you just feel this wonderful presence there. There's something special there. You say, "What is that? What is that?" I worked with such a person. She was a pretty special lady. She lived from a consciousness of love for all. She only saw the children of God. For her, everyone was doing the best they could. She never got offended. She never got angry. If someone was upset, acting out by being rude or mean, she would quietly say, "They're just having a bad day." She treated all with care, understanding, respect, and love. I met her at the same time that I found this church. And it was through this church that I realized that she was living from a consciousness of love and respect and joy. We must learn that we are not here to change people or improve them in any way or make them into the people we think they should be. The truth we know is for our benefit. In practicing truth, if someone is healed in some way, it is because truth expressed through us, but not of us. For truth, principle, and good are all of God. You will know from the Bible that when somebody referred to Jesus as being good, that he said, "Why are you calling me good? There is only one good, and that is my Father in heaven." The question is, how do we know that eternal good is found in all, the saint and the sinner? Since God is the one good, and he created everyone in his image and likeness, then everyone's nature, true nature, is spiritual. Now, the good that is alive in us does not come from us, the personality. It is God who is the one source that forever abides in everyone. We of ourselves cannot make good or have the power to give good. Good is of the Holy Spirit. And as a child of God, good is eternally ours. When we are still enough and quiet enough to listen to God consistently and constantly, it is his good that will express through us. But let us have no illusions. We are just the instrument for this good, not its source. I suspect that few people know that God's good is always with them. But let us understand it is not our job to try to convince others of what we believe is true. Instead, when we live from Jesus' teaching, we become a transparency not only for God's good, but for all his attributes. Jesus was very clear that of himself, he could do nothing, for it is the Father within who doeth the works. He never took credit for any demonstrations that came through him. Whenever Jesus healed someone or made a demonstration, he used to say, first, that he would thank the Father for having heard him. He always acknowledged God as the source and power in the revealing of man's true self, a spiritual being. He would thank God for having been heard. For a healing or demonstration was not doing anything to the human body or human experience of lack, disease, or pain. Instead, it was revealing the truth of all. What Jesus was doing was healing consciousness. In other words, he was showing that in God's presence, there cannot be any inequity, only wholeness, peace, and all the fruits of the Spirit would be in manifestation. He was showing that disease was not real, for in the presence of the divine, disease melts into the nothingness that it is. Jesus made it clear, particularly to the disciples, that the demonstrations and healings were not of his making, but the Father who was within every living soul. He further made it clear that the disciples could do the same thing, and greater than he they could do. He was actually talking about all of us. I imagine that the disciples reacted, like many in the world, "How is it possible that we ordinary people can do what Jesus did. God created us in His image and likeness. Therefore, the principle that is of God is true of all of us. Jesus tried to get that message across. He was saying that mankind was not flesh and bones that would die, but spiritual in nature, just like the Father, just like God, who can never die, is eternal and living and infinity. Jesus was the master teacher. He was always teaching. In his healings, he was teaching that what presented out here in the world, affecting people in a negative way, was an appearance that had no real power, except the power that we give it. He taught that all must look beyond the appearance to see reality, to see God in action. His teachings were appropriate in his time, and they still are. Truth is timeless, for it has no beginning and no end. We learn that the kingdom of God is not of this world, yet we live by the laws and commandments. Yet when we live by the laws and commandments given by Jesus, the Christed One, and leave this world for periods of silent contemplation and meditation, we do experience God's kingdom right here where we are. For the more time we spend in the silence of God, simply listening, the more likely it is that we will feel the presence of God and get God's wisdom and understanding to lead us on a daily basis. Jesus told us the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's work is finished, for he created a complete, perfect, and eternal kingdom. It is we who must choose to turn to God, leaving all of the human experience out of our time of silence with the Father. Because that time is to commune with the Father, so that we may learn His wisdom and His understanding. But please understand that it does take time to build a relationship with God. If we are devoted to being still and practicing the presence of God every day as often as possible, I guarantee that you will have a relationship with God, where it is almost like He is talking to you through people, children, books, movies, and many other avenues. Sometimes just walking in a beautiful garden, you get these inspirations, and that's the Father coming through to you. Let us remember that God's kingdom, His heaven, is eternal. But we have a choice to turn within consistently and constantly, or keep living by the appearances of this world. When we have a relationship with God, we then experience Him, as it says in John chapter 6, verse 39. In part it says, "And this is the Father's will, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing." Here's how I interpret that. The law of right placement is always operative in and through us. I always have the right idea for each situation when I have a relationship with God. I use each idea as I receive it because I know that divine mind will always provide new ones. Right placements govern where I work and where I live. Divine order establishes my business associates, my friendships. In my heart, I know that nothing wrong or negative can exist in me or my experiences. Everything I experience is in the right place. The divine mind reveals the right thought for each experience. God's eternal kingdom is our kingdom. We do not need to die to experience God's eternal kingdom. This is our eternal life. We can live that life right now, but first, we must let go of that which is from the world. That has a hold on us, and let us dedicate time and attention to being still and quiet. We need to commit to do the spiritual work so that our consciousness is transformed, where we have the conscious awareness of God's eternal life, manifesting through us, as us, and for us, the Father's kingdom and power and glory. And so it is. Will you please join me in making this lesson practical? Will you please close your eyes, relax your bodies? Most importantly, let go of what you've been thinking about all week or what's been taking over your mind, your consciousness. Just let it go. As it says in John 3:15, 17, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let us be still. Father, we will let go of all that consumes our mind and heart. We have faith and belief that your omnipresence is here and now, always with us, ready to respond to a consciousness, a mind that is open and receptive. When we pray the silent prayer, we know that it is the Christ, your only begotten, who lives within, that will live our life, and it is the Christ that will lead us and make all the paths straight with manifestations of your love, peace, joy, and abundance. We are ever grateful that day by day it is the Christ that leads us to our good, for our faith is to be steadfast, single-eyed, for us to be pure of heart, which means that we recognize God as the one and only pure spiritual substance in all and as all. We do not have fear in our hearts, for our will is in harmony with God's will. For it is God's will that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We will no longer worry. Instead, we keep returning over and over to our communion with you, Father, consistently in silent prayer, so that your truth and grace can be known out here in the world. We know that your eternal kingdom awaits our return. We will be still so that we can hear you, understand your wisdom, and then we can do your will. Let us be still and let us be quiet. And with a joyful heart, turn to God over and over again. O most gracious Father, we are ever grateful for this understanding and your ever-loving presence. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you. The Lord is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you eternal life. Amen.